red wave that we were expecting seems to have turned out to be a red trickle. Some areas it did really well, some other areas not so well. But we as Christians were looking for God's answer for this political world. And with me today is Pastor Craig Hagen, and we're going to be talking about faith and how we can apply faith to politics in our world today. And you might recognize his last name because he is the grandson of Kenneth E. Hagen. He is an associate pastor at Rhema Bible Church, and he's the COO of Kenneth Hagen Ministries. So he's got a lot of rich history and just working with the Lord, and I'm excited to have him here on the Charisma News podcast.
It's good to be here.
So, Craig, I know you're very involved with politics, and you have a very close connection to this Reawaken America movement that has been really reawakening a lot of the country in different areas with Clay Clark and his group that he always brings together. But you're involved with that. Could you tell us a little bit about how you decided to really get involved in the political realm?
Well, as far as getting involved in politics, you know, like most pastors, you know, they'll ask me to come and pray. I'm a Republican, so I'm Republican, you know, things here in the city and things like that. You know, 2 years ago in 2020, you know, my grandfather and my dad has always told me or taught me that, first of all, we should pray for this country. Secondly, we should vote, you know, and so I've always voted. I've always, you know, very active in that. And so, you know, my wife and I, we stay up late, we're watching the news, and, you know, we're watching seemingly weird things to take, you know, go on in the presidential election, you know, or at 2 o'clock in the morning. And so my wife looks at me and says, "Craig, do something." And I'm like, "What am I supposed to do? I mean, I don't know what to do. I mean, I realize I do have, you know, I do have an audience, but I don't really, you know what to do." And so I decided, well, I took her challenge. I decided to do something. So I got involved, and I live in Tulsa County. So I went to the Tulsa County Republican meetings, became my precinct chairman, got involved in the Oklahoma GOP party, became pretty heavily involved there. And Clay Clark, one of my good friends, and I were talking about many different things going on. Clay, if you don't know his background, he's actually a business consultant. And here's the thing. When businesses had to close down, they were telling Clay, say, "Clay, we don't care if our website's good and all our employees are doing awesome. If we can't be open, we can't do business. Right. If we can't do business, we can't pay you." So Clay's like, you know, "We got to open back America." So Clay began to talk to me about him, you know, even after, you know, long after we were reopened in, you know, in Oklahoma. Actually, Oklahoma really kind of never really closed down much, only for a few weeks, because, you know, it was only supposed to be 14 days to slow the spread. But Oklahoma did close down for about 14, maybe 21 days. We didn't completely close down, but we had some things. But then, you know, we were pretty much going full bore. And Clay told me, he says, "You realize that only 1/3 of the churches, according to the in the polls, are open, and actually only 1/3 of the people are actually going to church." And that was September of 2020, 2020, I guess, to 2020, I guess. And so we had a little meeting at Clay's thing, and, you know, had brought some doctors in, Dr. Sherwood, one of my doctors, we talked about that before him, and a couple other doctors, Dr. Meehan and Dr. Bartlett. And then myself and Jackson Lawmeyer, another pastor as well, Brian Gibson. And we also brought in Sean Foyt, and we began to talk to the people here in Tulsa. Hey, you know, we need to do something about opening up America. Well, kind of fast forward that my good friend Jackson Lawmeyer, he actually decided to run for the U.S. Senate in the state of Oklahoma, was unsuccessful, but we woke up a lot of people. And General Flynn, heard one of his interviews and wanted to help out. So Clay did business conferences. That's what he did. But General Flynn goes, "Hey, I want to come speak at your business conference." Well, then Mike Lindell said he wanted to come speak at the business conference. And before you know it, we had about 5 or 6 big name speakers that wanted to speak at Clay's business conference. And Clay didn't have a place that could hold him, you know, that kind of crowd. So he called me and said, Craig, we're going to have about 1,000, maybe 1,500 people at my business conference. You know, can we find a place? And so at first we were just going to be one of our smaller auditoriums, and then it kind of grew and kind of grew and kind of grew. And we've packed out our auditorium with 4,500 people. Wow. And we started the Reawaken America tour with all, you know, General Flynn, Mike Lindell, Roger Stone, and Sidney Powell, and mm-hmm. all kinds of other folks. And we had, I believe it was like 7 million people, or might have been 11 million, that were live. Now we've had over 22 million people who have watched that that program. And they tell me that was the biggest thing that actually happened in America, the biggest conference, you know, in 2021. That's April of 2021. We had 45 different media outlets that came on campus. And I've never been to CPAC, but they told me so Clay didn't know how to do anything big like this. So basically I was the behind the, he got the speakers. I'm the behind the scenes, make it happen with his team. Right. I helped his team, you know, do this. And I personally was over the media, and they told me I was at the, our media area was better than CPAC. So, so they were, I mean, I was, you know, I mean, we had OAN, we had Newsmax, and you know, they were all extremely satisfied, and we put that together in 3 weeks. Wow. I mean, so that was, you know, it was pretty awesome. And then from then I go to most of Clay's conferences, probably 75% of them. I've been able to, we've been doing one a month ever since that point in time. I think we took the month of May off, and then we went to my good friend Rodney Howard Brown's. Well, they're not too far from you guys. They're in Tampa, and we were there with him, and then we've kind of just kind of crisscross around the United States. Our plan is to continue. At one time we were going to stop at the midterms here, but we're going to continue in some form. We might do a few less next year, but we have one planned in January in Nashville, Tennessee. And so we're pretty excited about that. But, you know, unfortunately, although we're trying to reawaken America, you know, we've got a lot of, I won't say bad press, you know, but you know, people call us radical MAGA Republicans or whatever. And, you know, after the, you know, what you're calling a red trickle, it does seem that a lot of America's not really that awake, even though we're doing the best we can to try to reawaken. I think a lot of it's to do with our media. Most our media outlets, you know, kind of obviously lean left, and even Fox hasn't really been helping out a whole lot. You know, there's certain programs that maybe have, but you know, but the other, you know, you were talking about what should we do. You know, first of all, our faith should be in God and not in our government. In fact, even our own money. And I actually like I believe it's the $20 bill. If you turn the $20 bill over, you'll see a picture of the White House, I believe. And on top of the White House, it says, "In God we trust." And I think that's something we need to understand, that, you know, our president only serves for you know, even at 2 terms, that's 8 years. You know, we don't put our trust in the government, and we don't put our trust in the president. And I realize a lot of people, you know, are you know, would like Trump to come back. I would as well, or DeSantis or someone like that, you know, to change things. But ultimately, if our trust should be in God and not in, you know, the next president. In fact, our Reawaken America tour here in Tulsa, there were rumors that President Trump was going to show up. We actually even were the only stop that actually had metal detectors, by the way. Wow. But also during the time when our tour was going on, they were having riots all over the United States. So that was another issue as well. You know, like Florida, Oklahoma, you know, a lot of people carry, you know, use the Second Amendment right and things like that. So, but President Trump did not come. And one of our speakers said that they were glad that he didn't come. Not that they wouldn't want President Trump to come. But the deal is that because he didn't come, the focus was more on God than it was President Trump.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing, you know, so in some respects, even Christians have put more faith in, you know, President Trump. And I will say, you know, he's been, at least my lifetime, the most godly president. Now, I get it. His Twitter hasn't always been the most godly things or whatever. But you know, he actually, he has told some of his people that he wanted to be known as the most praying president ever. And you know, he's the one who tried to put Christ back in Christmas. In fact, Eric Trump actually told the story that, you know, the very first Christmas at the White House, the staff was asking, you know, about lighting the holiday bush. And President Trump says, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You talk about the Christmas tree?" Mm-hmm. You know, so they were, I guess, under the Obama administration, they called it the holiday bush. And then you call it the Christmas tree. Wow. So it's kind of crazy, but am I disappointed? Yes, I'm disappointed, but I do believe that it looks like that we are going to at least win the House, and more than likely, if we win that runoff with Herschel Walker, we probably will win the Senate. I mean, it's going to still be a slim margin, but I do think that, you know, things will change a little bit, although our president is not really, you know, he made a statement that he's not going to change anything.
Yeah.
So I will say, you know, where you guys are located in Florida, you guys had a red wave here in Oklahoma. No Democrat won a significant office at all here in Oklahoma. So, you know, in fact, our governorship was supposed to be close. What we had the state superintendent, who was a Republican, changed to Democrat, run against our Governor Stitt, and they were saying Governor Stitt was going to lose. They actually put a lot of dark money, $25 million of dark money came into that race. I mean, you couldn't open get your mail hardly any day without having a negative, flyer about Governor Stitt. And we were told that he was going to lose by 5 points, and he ended up winning by 15 points. It wasn't even close.
Wow.
So, So even though they tried to stop, with negativity, they tried to stop what was going on, they were not able to, mainly because I believe, because I'm pretty involved in politics in Oklahoma, and most Oklahomans were pretty awake. And in fact, I just got a report. So in the 2018, so, you know, midterm to midterm, 2018, sure, we had about 26% voter turnout. In 2022, it was over 50%. It was like 50.86%. Because I'm the precinct chairman of my precinct, my wife actually worked for the Tulsa County Election Board. She ran our precinct. It was crowded all day long, and Governor Stitt won overhandedly in our precinct. But our precinct, it's I think 4-1 Republican over Democrat.
Yeah.
It was expected, but I was glad to see people come out and vote. You know, like I said, I was taught as a young age that we should always vote. And I believe because of some of the shenanigans going on, people thought, well, we shouldn't vote. Now the other question, I guess, comes down, do we think some cheating went on? You know, in Oklahoma, I think that we have pretty fair elections. I still wonder. I feel sorry for the man, but Fetterman, you know, is not fit to serve Dr. Oz, you know, whether you like him, I mean, he's a TV personality.
Right, right.
You would think that being a TV personality, you would actually, get a jump in the votes right there. So I question Pennsylvania's, elections.
I question Pennsylvania's elections too. And I lived there up until I moved here to Florida, actually. My town was pretty close to Braddock, Pennsylvania, where Fetterman was the mayor. And I can attest that city is worse than when he took it over. And I actually just put out something on my social media before the election, just like, hey, I don't agree with any of his policies, but this makes me sad seeing this. And so just pray for him. That's what I put out there. I don't understand a lot of things in politics and why things turn out the way that they do. I believe that God is in control. I believe that God is sovereign. But sometimes it's hard to say that, like you said on the money, is that in God we trust. We put a lot of our faith and trust into political figures, unfortunately. And especially since President Trump, a lot of Christians have been putting, I think you said this earlier, is that we've been putting more faith in President Trump than in Jesus Christ. And I, just summing that up from what I felt like you said. But,
yeah,
you know, it's easy to kind of get carried away in the excitement of that. Let's talk a little bit about faith and how we need to realign our faith to what the Word of God says and how we can do that. I know your grandfather was, you know, very well known for his teachings on faith and the believer's authority. And so that's something that, you know, it's kind of, you can stand on it when things are going well and you're like, oh yeah, I've got the authority. I'm a believer. I've got the authority, but things aren't going the way that I want right now. So where's my authority? How do we deal with some of these things right now?
Well, first of all, if anyone knows, my grandfather, Wikipedia calls him the father of the modern day faith movement, and so do many other people. If you know his story, he actually was born premature, had a blood disease and a deformed heart. The doctor said if his heart was normal, the blood disease alone would kill him. He was given up to die at 16 years old. He was on his deathbed, and the Lord healed him after he got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. And he began to, he never read a book on, you know, about faith and healing and things like that, but he got a hold of Mark 11, 23 and 24. But Mark 11, 22 is actually my favorite verse in the Bible. And if I ever sign, you know, my autograph or whatever, I always put Mark 11, 22. Mark 11, 22 says, have faith in God. You know, which I actually say, you know, our money in God we trust is kind of Mark 11, 22, have faith in God. And I think that's where a lot of Christians miss it because they read a book and they're trying to, you know, have all the steps of faith, but their faith has to be in God, not in their self, not in their pastor, not in anybody else, you know, because it goes on Mark 11, 23, talking about speaking to this mountain. But my faith has to be in God as I speak to this mountain. I'm not going to move a mountain. God's going to move a mountain.
Right.
Now, also, too, we have to understand that God's timing and our timing is completely different. You know, so sometimes that we don't understand or we don't, you know why this doesn't happen or didn't happen. But you know what? Ultimately, I'm supposed to put my faith in God. And some people are, I know right now, I mean, obviously, they're talking about, you know, the inflation, the economy, you know, gas prices and all some, you know, but Philippians says, but my God shall meet all my needs, you know, shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. If my God shall supply all my needs, you know, when my needs go up, his supply also goes up.
Amen.
And so, you know, for me, instead of talking about how bad the economy is, I talk about how good my God is and how my God is going to supply all my needs, even because it doesn't say my God shall supply all my needs, except for if there's a depression or recession or, you know, a bad president or whatever, you know. But I do also think we should go back and we should be praying for our nation. You know, I mean, you know, that's something else. Do you realize that?
Right.
I mean, in the Old Testament, God spoke to evil rulers. And sometimes they made decisions that were godly decisions, you know, and I do think that we should be praying for, our, you know, all our leaders. You know, I know a lot of Christians, you know, they're so mad at President Biden. They don't want to pray for him. But you know what? First of all, I feel sorry for President Biden because I don't think he's mentally should be president, number one. So not only pray for him, I pray for whoever's, you know, running our country. And I don't know who that is, you know, because in my own mind, there's some kind of person that's making some of these decisions that, you know, I just pray that you know, that God will speak to them and change some things, you know, I do think some things will change. I mean, even if we have a slim majority, the Republicans have a slim majority, there are going to be some investigations on some stuff. And, you know, I don't know the outcome. I know, but I know that God's going to take care of me, even in the midst of all these things. I do suspect, I do think that there is some cheating going on still. I don't know how, I don't know when, but even going back to the Georgia election, if you look at the Georgia election and you know, I actually thought Stacey Abrams would be a little closer to Kemp, just because of, you know, all of the hype or whatever. But Kemp won pretty handily. I'm not a huge Kemp fan, but, you know, she's better than the alternative. I'm surprised about the Warnock Herschel Walker race, though, because if Kemp won so heavily, then most people who would vote Republican would also probably vote Republican on the Senate race.
You'd think so.
And so I'm really confused about the number. Also, too, knowing that Herschel Walker, I mean, I'm a big Dallas Cowboy fan. Herschel played for the Dallas Cowboys. You know, Herschel obviously went to the University of Georgia, won the Heisman Trophy. And so I could conceivably see someone vote for Stacey Abrams, but because Herschel Walker's a football star, vote for Herschel Walker because they want a football star over a radical minister who's really hasn't done a whole lot for Georgia. And so I kind of, even though, you know, if anyone knows anything about politics, when the incumbent goes to a runoff, 80% of the time they lose in the runoff.
Really?
That's a good statistic that some of you might want to know. Yeah. So 80% of the time, that's why Warnock's really concerned. You know, if you can ever push. So I helped a lot of candidates in there. I actually have a super PAC called PreserveUSA.org. Preserve Our Rights actually is the name of the super PAC. And I was able to, I started it late, so it was in March. So I couldn't really help out a whole lot in this election. But 2024, our goal is to have, you know, at least $2 million to help out. Because, you know, I found out one of the reasons that we've lost, we ran out of money. You know, people like they put the Democratic National, you know, parties and other PACs put a lot of money in Warnock's campaign, and they outspent Herschel quite a bit. Well, you know, Governor Stitt was outspent like 8-1 or something like that. I mean, was, you know, and so one of the reasons why there was a red trickle is because most voters going to the polls are very uninformed. That's and the only true. Thing that they have, only information they have is what they mail to their house or what they see on television. Well, if you're seeing, you know, 8-1 ads, negative over positive ads, then, you know, that's a problem. Something else, too, and we need to, I don't know how to fix it. I don't know if the FCC can do something. But when a person runs an ad, my super PAC has ran ads for some candidates. Especially, we helped out in Arkansas and Oklahoma, up in New Jersey and a couple other places. And so not every station requires this, but I actually submitted, you know, we had some ads. We said some negative things about the incumbent. But I actually cited interviews, cited votes. You know, I cited everything that was negative because, you know, I believe it's okay to attack someone on their record. You know, I don't believe it's okay to attack them personally. But so everything that was in the ad was cited, you know, so and some stations make you do that. And some stations don't. I think that, you know, the FCC should have a policy. You can't just say that this guy's a liar. You need to at least point out where he lied. I mean, you know, at least cite that, you know, in you know, whatever. So I actually cited, or I didn't, our super PAC cited, you know, this person gave an interview, like one of them actually was, you know, was a paper interview and we cited a couple of other things. And so we just didn't want to say, well, so-and-so supports this, you know, this was his own words. So, you know, anyway, but man, negative ads are just, and I will say, you know, like I said, my wife, she runs, well, she runs our precinct now. She actually ran another precinct, before that. And she says that the people who, it was actually during the primaries, she says the number one comment they got, people coming in said they're just tired of all the negative ads and they didn't know what to believe. And I think that's what happened, you know, here and you know, why we didn't see that that red wave, because the Democrats spent a lot of money to attack our candidates, and you know, and people don't know what to believe anymore. And it's especially you gotta realize
it's very true
that a lot of them are not, you know, not getting, they're getting their news from CNN, NBC, ABC, you know, CBS, you know, and even Fox isn't always given the most positive things.
Correct.
But, you know, it is interesting that they're, actually, you know, they're actually applauding that they had a red trickle, that they're not losing the, by that bad. I mean, you know, that's pretty interesting. But you know, what's also going to be kind of difficult is that the Democrats seem to vote together. The Republicans seem not to. So that's going to be, you know, pretty interesting. We're still probably going to have to rely on Joe Manchin and Kristen Sinema, you know, maybe, you know, especially even though we have a majority or might have a majority in the Senate.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that we need to just keep in prayer. I mean, our hope can't be in the government. Our hope can't be in a party. Our hope can't be in the president or former president and the hope of him coming back. Whatever you're putting your hope into, it really needs to be in God. And his word is how we can learn about what we need to put our hope into and the things that we can trust and we can know that his word is true. So when it comes to having, you know, this you grew up around, you know, the word of faith teaching. What are you having faith for now? What is giving you hope moving forward? And I also want to ask you, while I have a chance to ask, is for you, what is it like to, or what does it mean to be living a spirit-led life?
Yeah. Well, first of all, like I said, my hope is always in God. My trust is always in God. You know, I was talking to, I teach class, you know, here at Rhema, Rhema Bible Training College, rbtc.org, if you want to find information about our college. And so, you know, I was talking about, you know, some people, you know, they have the glass half full, the glass half empty mentality. You know, I have the glass overflowing mentality at all times. I mean, you know, I just am always positive because, you know, my grandfather taught me, he always would say these words, "I'm a stickler for the word of God." You know, what the Bible says that I believe in, that settles it. Well, the Bible says that the Lord wants to bless me exceedingly abundantly, more than I can ask or think. That's Ephesians 3:20. You know, so, I mean, he wants to bless me more than I can even ask or more than I can even think. Now, one reason we're not having a blessing is we're not asking. We're not expecting. You know, a lot of Christians don't expect a blessing. They don't expect God to bless them. And you know that God can bless you even though everybody else is having difficulties. My father, a number of years ago, went to Kenya and was the guy who actually was his interpreter. You know, my father prayed for him, you know, his land or whatever, and then came back 2 years later and said, "Do you notice something different about my house?" And he says, "My dad didn't." He goes, "I have a tin roof." And he goes, "What happened was, is I began to pray for my land, even though we were in a drought. It rained on my house and my crops. It didn't rain on anybody else's crops. And so we had a huge, and so he was able to put a tin roof on his house and buy a motorcycle, you know, even in the midst of a drought for everybody else, you know. But even though everybody else is having a drought, you can have a shout. And you know, the Bible says that God will lead, that the Spirit of the living God is going to lead us and guide us, you know, and, you know, he'll show us what to do and how to do things. Even in the Old Testament, over in Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path." Mm-hmm. You know, the own understanding thing is, people say, "Well, I don't understand faith because I don't understand it." Well, the Bible says not to lean on your own understanding. We're not going to understand, you know, how am I supposed to move a mountain? Well, you're not supposed to move a mountain. You're supposed to believe. The Bible says only believe. All things are possible to them that believes. And so our phone is to believe. Now here in Proverbs, he says he'll direct our path. So as we trust in God, he's going to show us which path to take, you know, how to do things. You know, I know it says the steps of a righteous man are ordered of God. Well, what does that mean? That one day at a time, one step at a time, God will lead us and he'll guide us if we let him. But a lot of times we're so busy complaining and, you know, and well, what am I supposed to do and all these kind of things. Instead of saying, "What am I supposed to do?" we need to reach out and say, "God, just lead me, guide me, help me." And something else that my grandfather always taught is amazing. He said that not one time did he ever ask God to bless him, which that's amazing. Most people always ask God to bless them every day. My grandfather always said that every day he would pray, "God, make me a blessing to somebody." Amen. Make me a blessing. You know, the Bible says it's more blessed to give than receive. You know, and my heart is to be a blessing. I want to be a blessing. You know, the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. You know, Matthew 6:33. So, you know, I just want to be a blessing to people, and God's going to take care of me. Mm-hmm. You know, I put my trust in God. Once again, Mark 11:22, have faith in God. I rely on Christ and Christ alone. And, you know, you know, God's going to take care of me, you know, even in the midst of bad economies. I tell you, I mean, I've had a great year. I mean, you know, you know, I had a great year. 2020, God gave me the word that 2020 is going to be the best year ever. And I claimed it, you know, every day before COVID, during COVID, you know, all that kind of stuff, you know. And so I remember one of our pastors, he's down in Louisiana. He says, Craig, I was right there with you until the second hurricane, you know, hit Louisiana and did all kinds of damage to, you know, his church and everything else. He said, but the moral of the story, end of 2020, we paid our church off. I paid my house off, and it was the best year ever. Wow. You know, and I've talked to two or three other people that got a hold of that word, and they had their best year ever in the middle of a bad year. I talked to one of our board members, told me that, he's actually in the, they have trusses for, you know, construction. And he said 2020 was my best year ever, but you know what? 2022 has far exceeded everything that because the scripture God gave me for this year, Ephesians 3:20, that exceedingly abundantly more than we ask or think. And he says, you know what? I claim that every day, and man, it's been an awesome year. And you know, that's the thing. We should be claiming what the Bible says, you know, and that's what I endeavor to do is what does God's word say? And I'm a doer of God's word.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, I guess that's just from my grandfather, you know, and
that's awesome.
I just thank God for my heritage. You know, people say, well, what was it like? You know, the thing is, I don't know what it was like not to grow up the way I grew up. You know, so, you know, I mean, I learned faith as a young age. You know, I traveled with my grandfather, you know, most all of my life. I mean, you know, well, during, I did go to school. So I mean, I didn't, at that time, homeschooling wasn't a huge deal. So, you know, so we were traveling the summer times, you know, with them, you know, but
yeah,
I traveled as much as I can, with my grandfather. In fact, if you watch any of his videos on YouTube, you'll see me standing right behind him, you know, helping him out. I was, you know, probably one of the closest person to my grandfather. I was responsible for taking care of him, and setting up all his meetings. I was a crusade director, and you know, it was an awesome life to be able, you know. And the thing about my grandfather is he was the same on stage as off stage. I mean, he had ultimate belief. You know, he trusted God with all his heart. That's what the Bible says, and he didn't worry about anything. The Bible says not to worry about, you know, anything, but pray about everything.
Amen.
So that's what he would do. That's Philippians 4:6 for you guys. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
You know, well, sometimes people don't know the words. I want to make sure they know where we're talking about.
Right. Well, speaking about praying, would you pray for our listeners here that God would stir up their faith and just however else that, that God's leading you to release a prayer over them?
Yeah, obviously. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for, you know, each and every person that's listening to this podcast. And Father God, we thank you if they're going through any kind of situation, whether it be physical, financial, emotional, spiritual. I know right now with the economy going that way, a lot of people are struggling right now. But Father, we thank you that you'll give them the peace of God that passes all understanding right now, Father. Help them to put their trust and their faith in you, knowing that you will meet their needs, knowing that you're the one that's going to touch their life. And Father God, if there's anyone out there that needs healing in their body right now, we just thank you right now for the healing power of God flowing in their bodies from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, driving out that Satan is trying to do. And we thank you, Father, in advance for testimonies that we shall hear and that we shall see. And we thank you, Father, right now. We pray for this country, Father. We thank you, Father, although maybe the election wasn't what we want it to be, we just thank you, Father, that you are turning this country around. We pray for the president. We pray for our senators. We pray for our governors. We pray for our mayors. We thank you, Father, that you're able to speak to people that we wouldn't even think that you that would even listen. But we thank you that you're bringing people across their path. And we just thank you, Father, for America. We just thank you that this is the greatest country. And we still are one nation under God. And we just give you the praise, the honor, and the glory. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, Pastor Craig, thank you so much for being on the Charisma News podcast. Real quick, how can people connect with you?
Well, you know, the biggest thing that I, you know, that we do as a ministry is we have Rhema Bible Training College. That's rbtc.org, Rhema Bible Training College. If you feel called to the ministry or you want to learn more about the Bible, it's a great place if you'll go there. If you want to learn anything about our ministry, our main website is rhema.org, R-H-E-M-A.org. And anything you can find, any information about our ministry, we have some free materials. We have Rhema Weekly Podcast, which I host. Anywhere you find podcasts, you can find it there, Apple, Spotify, all those things. Or you can go to rhema.org and download it there. There's many other things. If you're looking for a church in your area, we have Rhema graduates that pastor all over on our rhema.org. There's a find a church in your area, and you can find one. But I just want to encourage everyone, you know, it's going to be okay. I know that our election wasn't what we wanted to be, but it's going to be okay. But I also do want to encourage you guys, you listeners out there, you know, if you ever felt called, you know, felt that you might should run for office, I mean, you know, just go ahead and do that. We need people on our school boards. We need city councilors. You know, we need people at state offices and federal offices. And I believe it's my job to encourage people to run for office, because we need some good Christian men and women that are willing to be in government, because I want to put Christ back into our government. Amen. You know, God needs to be, you know, on the political scene. A lot of people say, well, politics is dirty, but you know what? If we put a lot of Christians in politics, it won't be as dirty. And I think we need to see that.
Amen. Amen. Well, Pastor Craig Hagen, it is a pleasure to have you on this podcast. I just want to take something that you said here and just encourage our listeners that if everyone else is having a drought, you can have a shout. That is something that that really resonated with me that you said. And I just want to encourage everybody also that pray, God, make me a blessing. Don't just pray, God, bless me, but God, make me a blessing. Bless me so that I can bless others. And I just want to encourage you to get your eyes off of yourself. Get your eyes on the Lord and put your trust and your faith in Him. This has been John Matarazzo with Craig Hagen for the Charisma News Podcast. God bless you.